Talk to me. Talk to me. Ooh, I love the things you say. Talk to me. Talk to me. Then you know, switching away.
Tuesdays at 2:30, we turn on our tech spotlight, and even in the cloudiest weather, of course, our tech spotlight works, and we can shine a light on some of the important and interesting things happening here in the region. Now, sometimes we have a guest, and it's very self-explanatory for me. This I understand. For example, like Henson Shaving. Okay, you do shaving stuff. I get it. And then we get the whole high-tech story of that, and that's kind of interesting. Others, I don't entirely know what I'm talking about, which is why we bring guests on who can tell us those things. Don Bowman joins us this afternoon. Don, I want to get the pronunciation of your current firm. Is it Agilicus?
It's Agilicus.
I see.
Agile and Spartacus.
Agilicus, okay. I see. I told Brittany I didn't think that it was Agilicus because that seemed weird. So what is this company, Don? What do you do?
In a nutshell, we just make it easier for people to get their job done anywhere on any device without having to connect to a corporate network or use a laptop your company issued. Just modern world brought to corporate.
And is that for security purposes, Don?
Yeah, it's security and also convenience.
So, like most of us, I think, Don, if we're not really inside that industry, think, well, I can do all this stuff right now. What makes you different? What's driving you now?
Up until recently, a lot of companies had this idea that you worked at a desk at a company issued device. And they kind of got caught by surprise by people needing to work from a truck somewhere. And there was a stopgap measure called a VPN that was basically a long cable to your office. And it hasn't worked well. It's not been secure. It's allowed ransomware to occur. And we've come up with a way to make that problem go away.
And so I guess we're all being asked to work from places we never thought we'd have to before. You know, I look at delivery people doing jobs today that 5 years ago would have been unthinkable, right? Like the world's changed pretty fast.
Yeah, for sure. Like I used to travel hundreds of thousands of kilometers a year. You worked from where you were, and the corporate world was slow to catch up to that.
You have a really interesting background in the tech industry too. You were one of the people behind Sandvine, right?
Yeah, I was one of the founders of that company.
So Sand and Pickstream as well.
Yep.
Right. Is at some point shouldn't you stop? Like.
You know, people say experience, and it sounds like a good way of saying you're old.
Yes, I've heard that
you
before.
You can never have enough experience, and that's what I'm still working on.
And so what drove you to this part of the business personally?
So Sandvine was acquired by a private equity company, mm-hmm. and I was in this uncanny valley. I was too young to retire and too old to do anything particularly new, so I'm like, let's go all in and start a new company and build a great team and solve a great problem.
You don't strike me as the kind of guy who wants to walk away from anything.
No, I mean, what am I going to do? Just sit around home and watch TV? No, they got more to do in my life.
Tell me about the Zero Trust network access.
So Zero Trust, you know, it's actually a very simple concept, but it sounds complicated. You know, up until recently, the state of the art for what's called remote access, using a system from somewhere you're not, was called a virtual private network. It's like a long cable. And I use the analogy. It's like imagine going to three companies. Company one, you walk up to reception, and they just say, walk on back, try to stay out of the secure areas. Company two, they walk you back and say, just stay in this meeting room, don't walk around. Company three, they say, okay, I'm going to put you in this meeting room in off reception, and the person will come and meet you. Zero Trust is the latter. It's the idea that instead of a user being able to access everything and told only to access one, we've changed the world so that they now, each thing they access is, they're locked to that one thing. And it prevents what's called, it prevents things from walking sideways because you clicked on a bad email.
Well, and that's, there's so much concern these days over ransomware, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are we getting anywhere in fighting that, Don? Because it seems like, I hate to characterize them this way, but the bad guys are always ahead.
Well, there's a problem there in that the bad guys, they have enough money and they are attracting real talent, and they may be better funded than the good guys. But, you know, the same thing, about 20 years ago, everybody was complaining about spam. You know, I get so much bad email. We still get some, but we went to war on that, and we solved that problem to a dull roar. I think if we can get some consequences for the folks that get caught and some better security, some better training, better awareness, we'll get to a point where it's not as bad as it is now, for sure.
And Don, how aware do you think are let's do two categories here. Number one, how aware are companies about security, and how strong are their efforts to maintain it?
Well, when you know, certainly many of them are very aware of it. But when you get a little bit further out into more Main Street businesses, contracting firms, and things that are a bit more traditional, you know, their awareness may come through their cybersecurity insurance. They may struggle to renew that, because there's questions being asked around multi-factor authentication and so on. And that raises the awareness. There's great training programs out there you can train your employees on and, you know, fake phish them and so on. There's certainly a lot of room to grow here, but, you know, mass media, TV shows, Netflix, they're all educating people to a greater or lesser extent.
And I sometimes hear from people in the cybersecurity business, Don, like you are, that the weakest link is often the individual.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, as soon as a human being's involved, you can trick them in all sorts of ways. People want to be helpful. They call up your company and, you know, looking for so-and-so. They switch into problem-solving mode. You know, you drop a USB key in the parking lot, somebody's going to pick it up and plug it in. It is a hard problem when your staff are your problem.
And your company, Don, here in Waterloo region, what's the advantage of being here?
Well, I live here. That's the advantage for me.
It's a short commute.
I can bike to work. That's right. I've lived here since university, which was in the 80s. And there's great talent. There's a great infrastructure here. I think it's just a great place to start a company and run and maintain a company from.
Well, and all the companies that we've talked to here, Don, you know, kind of say the same thing, where we have all of these really good, really smart, really talented people here, and then we have the opportunity to try out our ideas on the same kind of people, and that's just a bonus all around.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, it's sort of like Silicon Valley. There's the idea that everybody's participating in an experiment. You know, when the BlackBerry first came out, this was the first thing in the world that people looked at their thumbs in a movie theater line. you know, now that's a worldwide trend, but you know, there's lots of stuff that we've tried out here for the first time, and it's worked well.
So I have to ask a lot of people who come on this segment on this question. That you got to go back, I'm going to say 30 years. I'm not going to age you too much. Let's go back 30 years. Is this kind of what you expected to be doing?
30 years. Oh, geez. No, for sure. I think my idea of the future was much less well-formed then. I was mostly looking to make sure I had enough money for Doritos and Pop at university.
Those are laudable goals, by the way. Those are important.
Yeah, they are.
But you weren't really looking at it, and the way the industry has changed, was your, I don't know how much vision for the future you had as you were leaving university, but does the future look different than you thought it would?
You know, 30 years ago was just sort of the start of the mass market of information as a, you know, thing. I was just starting university at that time, or ending university, I guess. And I'd been introduced to the internet, but the internet was at that time a very academic type thing. Most companies still had typewriters or, you know, PCs with, you know, printers beside them. You know, the idea of everything being always on and always connected, the World Wide Web was just starting to glimmer there. I was a huge aficionado, an early adopter of those things, so I'd like to say I was a visionary, but the reality is that's probably more hindsight.
No, and you know, it just always interests me, people who were in it at that point, you know, whether they at any point had any inkling of what was to come, you know, an entire nation which wanders around looking at its hands all the time. I don't think we saw that coming.
Yeah, I don't think we understood the concept of distracted driving would kill people because they were reading text with emojis in it. But, you know, I think the idea that it would transform how businesses worked and how humans interconnected and so on, I think certainly I was someone who saw that at the beginning, but how big that transformation would be, no.
Do you remember a moment, Don, where you decided this was the direction that you wanted to go? Was there something, like, was it perhaps a game of Pong, something like that, that drove you in that direction?
The biggest items for me, I remember I was in first year university and, you know, I wasn't really sure what a university was. It's different than high school. I didn't know anyone. And I wandered into one of the computer labs and we had an account and I logged in and, you know, there was this news group and they were talking about squirrels and the Davis Center. And it was this aha moment for me of, you know, there's this world connected community of people, and any topic you wanted, there were people talking about it in text. And that was sort of my aha moment was, you know, there was a lot of people out there, and such a large group number meant that any topic would have a set of aficionados for it. And the communities would form not around geography, but around common interests. And that's what's really drove me towards communications, technology, internet, networking, was that day in the math lab at University of Waterloo.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think about it, that we really have been drawn together by common interests, whatever that might be. Some of it's cat pictures, but, you know, this is the world in which we live.
Yeah, you know, you're interested in home automation, you're interested in a certain type of car, you're whatever. There's a group for that.
Don, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being on your show.
Don Bowman is the CEO of Agilicus. It is in the cybersecurity space on the internet, a former founder of Sandvine, also very successful local company over the past few years, and also involved in Pickstream. Described as a serial entrepreneur. And he certainly is that. By the way, earlier today, we elicited confessions. And amongst the confessions is that Brittany Bordelon will not stop sealing softener salt. Now, she may have only done it once, but that's... Can you believe somebody who steals softener salt? I'm not sure that you can. And so we just kind of started talking about what people have stolen in their lives. Now, I'm going to say no judgment, except there's a little bit of judgment. So depending on what you've taken... you may well be judged. We did have somebody who called earlier and said that he confessed that he had stolen the sample size bottles off some of the liquor store stuff. Don't do that. That's bad. That's worse than softener salt. If you feel like confessing, I will tell you a stealing story in a few minutes' time. Now's a good time. *570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.